Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Kind of weird here in the southern tip of southwestern Virginia. Not West Virginia, southwestern Virginia, the real Virginia. And for anybody has been following it. My friends from Dying Oath released their new official video, Ascension. I think you all check it out on YouTube. We go like their page, Dying Oath. We've had Mindy on, the singer, or one of the singers. There's two singers there. One is the clean vocal, and Mindy's the growl. It's just kind of strange, after hearing some of her earlier stuff, that with the voice she has, she went that route with this band. But hey, you know, she does do some clean stuff, so go check out the Dying Oath new video, Ascension. I just played it before coming on air, so I'm all pumped up. Sometimes coffee needs a little help, you know, and that's how it goes. Well, we had the premiere of the NHRA Gator Nationals in Gainesville, Florida. So now all major racing series are in action. That being said, let's see what they got. Top Fuel, who do we have in the finals? There's a familiar face, Steve Torrance. He won the championship a couple years ago, number two qualifier. And lost to Brittany Force in the championship last year. Brittany was the number one qualifier, but she had a rough time, but, you know, you qualify number one, you do get a point, a couple of points. I think it's three. But anyway, neither here nor there. The other finalist was number eight qualifier, Mike Salinas. His road to the finals was up against Justin Ashley, who we've had on last year. And then up against Brittany Force in round two. Ashley and Salinas, Ashley off the line better, but the ET was a big difference there. Salinas had a 366 with a 9. Ashley had a 375 with a 4. The 5/100 wasn't enough to make up the difference, or what? Well, I don't know. No, it was 38-87. You know, it's almost 6/100. But that's neither here nor there. Then up against Brittany Force. Now that the reaction was a little quicker, 086 to 080. Mike in those 69s. So it was 3.669 in round one. And here it went 3.699. So for round one was two sixes. Round two was two nines. And up against the semifinals against Leah Pruitt. It's a good start for her, making it to the semis in race one, driving for a new team. Well, not a new team, a second-year team owned by Smoke, you know, Tony Stewart. So two drivers, both Nitro, Leah Pruitt being one of them, because that's Mrs. Smoke. And funny car driver and Christiansburg, Virginia native Matt Hagen. Well, in round, so Torrance, he had a pretty tough road to hoe, too. He went up against Scott Palmer in round one. That was not close there, even though Torrence did have almost 2/100ths reaction time. Not so good. His 368 was way better than Palmer's 387. In semis, 072 for Torrence, 039 for Schumacher, which is that's pretty darn good for Nitro. Usually they're in the 40s or above, mid-40s or above. But Torrence of 374, Schumacher's 434, wouldn't even have won the funny car division run. And then against Doug Kalita in the semis, 060 for Torrence, 058 for Kalita. But where it counts the most getting down the track, it was basically a 2-second difference. So Kalita had tire problems, traction problems. Wound up 577 with a 3, and Torrence was a 377 with a 9. So I'm saying 2 seconds is a big deal. And in the finals, 043 for Torrence, 095 for Mike Salinas. Add them together, and you get 3.700 for Salinas and 3.754 for Torrence. I'm going to do the math here. So it's 3.7. If you add the reaction time to the ET, you get 377. And if you add it to Salinas's, I take that back. 3.797 for Torrence, and then for Salinas you get 3.795, so 0.02 of a second was the difference getting Salinas to the finish line quicker, because he got out the hole that much later. So give it to Salinas, his first win. And low ET was Doug Kalita with a 364. Best reaction time, Justin Ashley, 038. Yeah, that was pretty good. And top speed, Josh Hart, whose name I really didn't see in any of the running, with a 335 with a 40. So that had to be round one. Who did he run against? Former guest on our show, Justin Ashley and Josh Hart. Where are you at, Josh? Justin. There we go. There we go, ninth qualifier. Didn't make it out of the first round. He went up against Salinas, so yeah. All righty, let's see. Funny car. Who made the finals? Matt Hagen and J.R. Todd. How convenient. I was just talking about them. Alrighty. In this division, we have Forces. John Force. Robert Height. John Force Racing. Both have been on the show back in the day. If you want to go back and listen to some old stuff, I had the whole Force family on at one time or another, whether it was Brittany, Ashley, Courtney, John, Robert Height. The only one I didn't have on was Mike Neff, but I did interview him after a win at Englishtown, which made the show anyway, because when I tape interviews at the events, I put them on the show. All righty. Ronnie Capps was your number one qualifier. And the finals come down to Matt Hagen and J.R. Todd. All right, Hagen's trip up against Tim Wilkerson in round one. No battle there. Hagen had an 062 to Wilkerson's 103. 387 with a 9. The 423 with a 3 for Wilkerson. Up in round 2, up against Bob Tasca. Hagen 062, Tasca 086. 392 for Hagen's 388. So Hagen moves on there. Up against Alexis DeJoria. 119 off the light, 080 for Alexis. 086 for Hagen. 391 with a 2 for Alexis. 389 with a 6 for Matt Hagen. Let's go find J.R. Todd up against Blake Alexander in round 1. .064 for Alexander, .074 for Todd. And in the ETs where it counts, 389 to 395 for Alexander, moving J.R. Todd against Robert Height. .067, the reaction time for Todd. Robert Height, I don't know what happened there. Something blew up because he had a reaction time of 620. And Todd's 391 run is all you need to know. Robert Height's 23.626. I guess he got enough momentum to coast down the track. Up against in the finals. Here we go. Oh, wait, Todd, Chad Green in the semis. 396 with a 7037 off the light. Not bad. And Todd was 055 with a 390 with a 3. So gives Todd just a hair of an advantage getting across that light. In the finals, Todd versus Hagen. 054 for Hagen, 054 for Todd. So they got out of the off the tree dead even. And we have a 392 with a 6 for Hagen and a 414 with a 1. Give the Wally to Hagen. Todd the runner-up, low ET, Robert Height at 384 with a 3. And reaction time goes to Chad Green with an 037, 335, 82 for the fastest run for the top speed for Matt Hagen. So he's got the win and he's got the top speed. That's all you need. And takes the first funny car Wally of the season. All righty. On to the Pro Stock Division. All four ran because it's the first one of the season. Let's have see who the finalists are. Number one qualifier, Troy Coughlin. I wonder what happened there. Erica Ender's number two qualifier. Did not take the light, which is not like her. And the other finalist, Mason McGahey, number three qualifier. Well, let's follow his path to the finals. It's up against Fernando Cuadra in round 1. 069 with a 656 with a 4 for Quadra. 106 off the light with 655. I mean, he had a better ET, but when you're that much off the line slower, it doesn't help. So, McGahey up against Kyle Koretsky in round 2, 057. Kyle Koretsky ended his own, sealed his own fate with an 017, minus 017, so He jumped the gun and tripped the red light, disqualifying him. Agaye had a solid run of 6.59 with a 5 at 209.14 miles an hour. Then up against Greg Anderson. Yeah, you can't count Greg out. He's got a lot of wins and a lot of championships in the pro stock division. 0.66 for him, 0.19 for Agaye. Agaye, of course, being a lot younger. 6.61 to a 6.60 with a 7. Talk about close. That 0.19 was a big factor because it gave Agaye that much of a gap between him and Anderson at the line. All right, Troy Coughlin Jr. I think he used to go by Jag back in the day. Up against Larry Morgan in round one. Morgan 0.56, 0.49 for Coughlin. 6.56 with a 6.59 for Larry Morgan. That was pretty close there. Then up against, give the win late to Troy. Round two, up against Derek Kramer, 0.37. Troy, 049 for Kramer. 656 with a 4 for Coughlin. 657 with a 1. Again, another close result. A reaction time of 12/1000th of a second advantage. Makes a big difference. Move on to the semis up against Dallas Glenn. Troy has 0.15, which is not unheard of in the pro stock with a pro stock bike class, and 0.39 for Glenn, but the 6.58 versus Glenn 6.57 with a 9. Give him the whole shot. And on to the finals. So it's Coughlin, Agaye. Coughlin with an 0.22. Agaye with an 0.49. Coughlin with a 6.63 with a 7. Agaye 6.76. Coughlin wins. Low ET 6.52 with a 9 for Dallas Glenn. Best reaction 0.15 for Troy Coughlin. Top speed, Troy. With a 211.26 miles an hour. About the only one he didn't have was the low ET. Otherwise, he swept all the other areas. And last but not least, Pro Stock Motorcycle. We have a newcomer to the field, Gage Herrera, be in the finals against Angie Smith, who is Matt Smith's wife. I was about to say champion, because he's he came off the championship win. And who did she go up against? Well, let's see, Gage Herrera went up against Ron Tornow. Never heard of him. Eddie Krawick, heard of him. He used to be the Vance Hines Harley. Now he's the Vance Hines Suzuki. And up against Gianna Evaristo. I think her last name used to be Salinas, which would be Mike Salinas' daughter. I know she ran bikes. And then Angie Smith. Up against John Hall in round one. Joey Gladstone in round two. Chase Van Sant. For some reason he has no... His name isn't highlighted, so he must be a rookie. So Angie takes care of him. And in the finals, 0.039 for Herrera, 0.075 for Smith, 6.70 with a 6 for Herrera, 6.845 with a for Angie Smith. Herrera takes the Wally, Loey Tui at a 6.70 with a 4. Best reaction time, Chase Van Sant, 0.11. And top speed, Angie Smith with a 202-mile-an-hour run. Next they go to, where are they going? Arizona Nationals, the Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park. And looks like top fuel, funny car, pro stock, no motorcycle in that one. So that'll be next weekend, the 24th through the 26th. So you can get tickets if you want. Just go to NHRA.com and click on tickets. All righty. Let's check out the Xfinity Series run. Race number 4. Race for the United Rentals 200 in Phoenix. The winner is Sammy Smith. He is a rookie. Ryan Truex taking over second. Third, Sheldon Creed. Riley Herbst. Fourth, Chandler Smith. Fifth, John Hunter Nemechek. Sixth, Austin Hill. Seventh, eighth, Josh Berry. Ninth, Kyle Busch. And Daniel Hemric in 10th spot. Your stage winners, Justin Allgaier won stages 1 and 2, started 2nd, wound up 36th, involved in a wreck. That kind of sucks. 2 hours, 26 minutes, 12 seconds for the race. Average speed, 82.079. Margin of victory, 0.641 seconds. Sammy Smith's win is his first in the Xfinity Series. And there were 11 cautions for 69 laps, 14 lead changes amongst eight drivers. Let's check out the points. Austin Hill leads the points. He's got 2 race wins. John Hunter Nemechek with a win, his 2nd. Justin Allgaier, 3rd. Chandler Smith, 4th. Riley Herbst is 5th. Sammy Smith is 6th. 7th, Sam Mayer. Cole Custer, 8th. Josh Berry, 9th. Daniel Hemric rounds out the top 10. 11th is Sheldon Creed, and at the cutoff line in the 12th spot is Parker Kligerman. Let's hear from who we have here. Sammy Smith, the race winner. Ooh, Lynn St. James, honorary pace car driver. Let's see what she had to say. Usually she used to be an Indy car driver and also was part of the, I guess, a woman in motorsports thing with Sarah Fisher and some other ladies that ran in the open wheel. So let's see what Lynn had to say.
This our honorary pace car driver for today's United Rentals Work United 500. Lynn St. James hails from the great state of Ohio, but has been a Phoenix resident for probably about 20 years now, but just world-renowned, world-class driver on multiple disciplines, class winner at the 12 hours of Daytona, 12 hours of Sebring, 24 hours of Daytona, 12 hours of Sebring, I believe 24 hours of Nürburgring as well. Of course, we know about the Indianapolis 500, where, you know, first female rookie of the year in the Indy 500, and an impressive resume all across the board, and you're joining us today. So, Lynn, how cool is it for you to be the honorary pace car driver for today's NASCAR Cup Series race?
Well, it's amazing, but what's really is amazing, I thought that's what I was doing, was driving the pace car, and he said, you're in the press room. I haven't been sitting on this side in a press room at a racetrack in a long time. So, sorry, I'm taking this in. This is not just like old school. So thank you for, you know, for giving me the opportunity, inviting me to drive the pace car. I got to get my training in with Kip this morning and found out that speed control is going to be able to really pace the speed. I thought I don't even get credit for actually driving the right speed the whole time. But anyway, technology is all part of our life. But it is an honor. It's an honor to see this sport celebrate Women's History Month the way they are now. And as we were talking before, you know, to me, this sport's always been family. It's always been open. Once you show up at the racetrack, you know, and you have a role, and whether it's a fan actually, or whether you're working in this industry or sport, whether you're a driver or crew member, you're part of the family, and you just got to show up, do your job, and do it well, because slackers are not really allowed in our sport. And it's been that way for me for over 40 years. So, but now to see the sport celebrate Women's History Month the way they are is just been huge. You know, just really gives me goosebumps, to be honest, to be able to see the sport embrace women the way they are. And, you know, it's just really great. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to open the floor up for questions. We have a question. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We're going to start here with Lee Spencer.
Can you talk about what an honor it is getting inducted into the West Coast Stock Car Hall of Fame?
Well, I've never really felt Hall of Fame material, to be honest. You know, I always feel Hall of Fames are for the Kevin Harvicks of the world who've won championships. And, you know, I've had some wins, fortunately, on my resume. But so these things come out of a huge surprise to me. And so it is a huge honor. So, you know, I feel a little more comfortable since I do live in Phoenix. At least I live on the West Coast now. And I've certainly raced, you know, on the west part of the western part of the country, Riverside, Sonoma, Laguna. So I somehow feel that's because of the identity of it, that is part of the criteria. But it's just mind-boggling to a certain degree, and particularly to be amongst the greats. You know, the greats, some of them of the past, but certainly the greats of the now. And so it's big, big.
Go next to Reed, then to Wolfgang.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire Service. Given your association with Roush Racing at Sebring, did you ever have a temptation to compete in a stock car?
Well, that's actually a long answer probably, and I'll try to make it short. One of the reasons I took a Thunderbird to Talladega was to try to convince Ford Motor Company that I could drive a stock car, because I could see that's where they were going. You know, they were starting to wane a little bit from sports car racing. And so I thought, I can drive stock car. I've driven those Mustangs, and, you know, and Bill Elliott and I had gotten to know each other winning at Daytona, and, you know, kind of get to know people at a 24-hour race. And long story short, Ford contracted the Elliotts to build that Thunderbird and to take that Thunderbird to Talladega, and we set 21 national international speed records. Bill taught me about the car and kind of taught me about how to get around Talladega. And I remember when he rode around with me, it was like, well, tell me where to go. And he goes, I'm going to tell you where not to go. And so it was all great. But you know what? I didn't like driving that car. I mean, it's like a truck. I mean, I would turn the wheel, nothing would happen, and I'd have to crank the wheel more. And I mean, I know the cars maybe are a lot better now, but I didn't really have fun. I mean, I was glad we got it done. 3 weeks later, I got to drive an Indy car for the first time. Dick Simon gave me the opportunity, and to be honest, I fell in love. I mean, that car and I just were connected. So I didn't feel that, but I did want to go, and I did want to do it. But it, you know, sometimes but I work with young drivers. I say, pay attention to what you connect with. You know, what you really feel. Don't get caught up where I got to go here, I got to go there, I got to do this. Let people tell you that. Really know where you're connected with the car and with the people. And that's where you should go. Follow that.
Next to Wolfgang.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Wolfgang. Yes, thank you for the Christmas card.
like always, I have two questions. Through Matt's media release, I was informed you have some involvement with ACUS, ACC US, which I think represents American motorsport to the FIA in Paris. So question number one, do you can also play some influence to the FIA in Paris? And the second question, when you raced at the 24-hour Nürburgring, how did you prepare? Was there already simulator technology available?
Well, I'll answer the second one first. It was 1979, you know, no simulators. It was my first time out of the country. And so how we prepared was we took rental cars and for the 3 or 4 days before the weekend and kept doing laps. And BF Goodrich was smart enough to hire, I wish I could remember the gentleman's name, this German driver who had one arm who taught us. That's it. It was, yes. And he, with no speaking English and one arm, he's like talking to us and, you know, hand signals and everything. That's how we learned the track. And so it was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous. The first answer is, yes, I'm now a member of ACUS. It's now my second year. I was caught off guard with that, but very honored. I'm one of what they call the independent member board members. Most of the board members represent the six sanctioning bodies. ACUS stands for Automobile Competition Committee of the United States. A lot of people don't know that. And we are the ASN, the representative on FIA. But George Silberman is the president of ACUS, and all we do is we discuss the issues of what's happening here, and we say what is happening with the FIA. But to say that we have influence over the FIA, we oversee and help support motorsports in the United States. And the FIA does what they do, and there's a good communication between the two. But from my standpoint, racing in this country is very different than what racing in Europe is. And so, you know, we can learn from each other, and you look for best practices, and you want as much commonality where you can cross the ponds. But it's still different here, and we just need to do the best we can do here, you know, and make our sport grow. I don't think we have a great influence on what happens with the FIA. But we can, yeah, we can. But George takes care of that, the president, yeah.
Next question is going to come from Cole.
There you have Lynn St. James. Boy, I haven't heard from her in quite some time. Well, at least she's still up and about. Speed control. What's that? That's cruise control on the pace car? Oh, come on, man. All righty, let's get to our winner, Sam Smith. Let's see what he had to say. I saw Lynn St. James was the pace car driver for Sunday, so.
Joined by winner of tonight's United Rentals 200, driver of the number 18 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota, Sammy Smith. Sammy, this is your first NASCAR Xfinity Series win. How are you feeling?
This working? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is a dream come true. It's awesome to be racing in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and to be a winner today is awesome. That's my favorite track.
Congratulations. I will go ahead and open it up to questions. We'll start right up here with Wolfgang. So, then to Bob.
Yeah, Wolfgang Wunsch, Rennsport Press Agency from Germany. I have a technical question, Sammy. First of all, congratulations. Despite that the Cup cars are much cheaper than the Xfinity cars and have an aero package here, nevertheless, could your Cup driving colleagues give you any advice or tips to set up your car or some other technical information?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I've talked to Ty a little bit from last year, and then obviously my team has had really good success in the past. So between those guys and kind of good people around me able to get good information for what I need is, I feel like, what's helped me the most.
Bob Parker, Fox Sports. I have a couple. First, why is this your favorite track?
I think just because of the two corners. It's kind of a short track, and then also obviously it's a mile, so it's big too, but I like the dog leg and then the difference between the corners.
And what's going through your mind when you have Kyle Busch starting beside you there late and then Ryan Truex seeming to gain on you there late as well?
Yeah, we started to get a little bit tight there at the end, but yeah, the restarts were definitely the most challenging I've ever had to deal with, I think, with Kyle and then John Hunter and Ryan there at the end. So a lot of good guys, and it's definitely awesome to be able to beat those guys. And just thanks to my whole JGR team for bringing me an awesome car. It's it was fun today, and it's hopefully we're doing this more often.
There you have Sammy Smith. All right, let's get into the Cup race. Again, overtime. It turns out to be, again, William Byron is his second overtime win in a row. So if you're going to race, I know those that are leading, towards the end, don't want to see the yellow come out. But if you're not leading, and you're William Byron, do you want to see the yellow come out and go into overtime? Because after winning once that way and pulling it off again, just kind of curious. He did win stage one. And stage two was won by Kyle Larson, who was really pretty much dominating the race. Who he led five times for 201 of the 317 laps. Byron had a good run. He led 64 laps, but it seemed to be Kyle Larson's to lose, and lo and behold, it wound up happening. Ryan Blaney came in second. Tyler Reddick was third. Tyler Reddick in the 45, filling in for Kurt Busch. I wonder if Kurt's ever going to come back, or is he in the same situation that our pal Ernie Irvin was after a nasty wreck at Michigan? I don't think he ever came back in the car after that. Larson did wind up fourth. Harvick was fifth. As a matter of fact, Harvick was leading when I saw a good piece of it. I had to go tape the podcast, but he led 36 laps, so you figure 64 for Byron, 36, that's 100 right there, and 201 for Larson, that's 300 at the 317. Of course, they went overtime. And the other big leader, two-digit, was Eric Jones at 14. So that being said, that's how that won. But, you know, Harvick again in fifth. Christopher Bell, sixth. Chase Briscoe, seventh. Kyle Busch was eighth. Alex Bowman, ninth. And Josh Berry. Poor Josh, he's basically got to hold his own there, because when you're replacing somebody after a couple of races, you got to get used to new car and new crew, because going from running in the Xfinity Series with Junior Motorsports and then coming up to the Cup Series for Hendrick, filling in for Chase Elliott, who broke his tibia. Or is it fibula? One of the two. One of the two shin bones. Not fun. And once he gets the hang of it, he might eke out a win. And guess what? Chase Elliott may come. Should probably be back by then. But Elliott's young. Bones heal quick when you're younger. Not so much when you're older. And neither here nor there. So have a good run, Josh. Open some eyes there. So when you do decide to go up to the Cup Series full-time, we'll see what you can do. The race was 3 hours and 18 seconds. Average speed, 105.495. Margin of victory, 0.33 seconds. Like I said, Byron won stage one, Larson stage two. This was Byron's sixth NASCAR Cup Series victory. Wow, so coming into this year, he had four, then he gets two in a row. Hey, why not? Get him when, while you can. Five cautions for 35 laps. Two of those were stage conclusion. And there were 10 lead changes amongst six drivers. Let's check our point standings. After four races, as they sit, Alex Bowman leads the points. Kevin Harvick is second. Ross Chastain is third. William Byron, he's fourth, and he's got two wins, 13 playoff points, because he has three stage wins. Kyle Larson is fifth. Christopher Bell is sixth. Denny Hamlin, seventh. Ryan Blaney, eighth. Ninth, Kyle Busch. Martin Truex Jr., 10th. Daniel Suarez in 11th. Joey Logano in 12th. Brad Keselowski in 13th. Chris Buescher, 14th. Ricky Stenhouse, 15th. And on the bubble, Bubba Wallace. Let's see. Austin Cindric is 17th. So what's the points gap? Points between Bubba and Austin. It might be doable, but it'll be interesting to find out. We'll get some audio. I didn't cue it up. Let's bring out the winning team, Randy Fugel, the crew chief, vice chairman of Hendrick Motorsports, the one and only Jeff Gordon, and, of course, the winner, William Byron. We'll see who we
and begin our post-race media availabilities. We are now joined by our race-winning crew chief, Rudy Fugel. Rudy, congratulations. You guys started the race strong, finished with a win. Can you talk to us a little bit about your race?
Yeah, no, you know, William did a great restart, you know, and got the lead, I think, after lap one. And we set sail and did well. Ended up getting beat off pit road. You know, pit stall one had a lot to do with that. You know, five qualifying on the pole was big for them. We were just outmatched a little bit on pit road to the first couple, never could get it back. So from there, we were tighter in traffic, tried to work on it to make it freer and got way too free in stage three. So we got adjustment in on the green flag pit stop. And we were okay again, just too far behind. So, but 2 weeks in a row, we get that caution, and pit crew did a good job getting us out on the front row, and William did an awesome job. He had a second chance at a restart, and did an amazing job, and we won the race.
And we'll go ahead and open it for questions. We'll start right over here, and then come down to Wolfgang.
Jonathan Field, the racing expert, ESPN Radio Albuquerque. You know, again, it was you and the five out in front today. Without giving out too much, what do you think you guys have hit on that have allowed you to have success?
Yeah, just a little bit of everything. You know, specifically, you know, 2014 was focused in the simulation program all off season. We worked really hard, especially on Las Vegas and in Phoenix, because they're super important in the playoffs. So we had fresh information. You know, so we ran out Vegas with four to go, and Phoenix obviously the last race of the year. You re-race them early in the year, so it makes sense to work on those. Those were most of our focus to start with, and then hope to take notes from these two races to propel ourselves to the first third half of the year.
And we're also joined by Hendrick Motorsports Vice Chairman Jeff Gordon. So if you have any questions for him, please feel free to ask as well.
First, let me just say how proud I am of this guy and this team. Nobody works harder. I mean, all these guys work hard, but over the off season, I came into the office one day. It was like right after Christmas?
Yeah, it was the day after.
Day after Christmas, I was over at the office, and this guy was there all by himself. So I'm so proud of these guys and the effort they're putting in and seeing the results. Sorry, go ahead.
Go to Wolfgang.
Wolfgang Munzer from Germany, Rennsport Press. Two questions, one for Jeff.
You're from Germany all these years? No, I'm just kidding.
we saw all day that during the race, that Kyle had a very dominant car. Unfortunately, he couldn't win. So I suppose, like in other motorsport categories, with your crew chief colleagues, you share information, technical information. My question is, how identical are the Hendrick cars among the different drivers?
If you get down to the nitty-gritty, you know, the last 15-20% of everything, they're a little bit different, you know. So, but you know, the main hole, we work together really well. I mean, Cliff and I were chatting about what strategy we were going to do. You know, we opened in the chat multiple times if we were going to take 4 or 2, how we were going to do it. So even racing each other against the wind, fully working together, you know. So we work together great, all 4 crew chiefs, all 4 teams. So. But yeah, and then we prepare the cars. Just, you know, we look at each other's cars all week long and make adjustments, and then each driver is a little different. So the last 15-20% is probably.
So in principle, if one Hendrick driver is struggling, you take over the setup of another driver. You can't do this
for sure. Yeah, no, definitely. You know, we're able to put most all that stuff in the car. You know, we'd made a lot of changes their direction after Friday's practice for sure. Saturday morning came in and changed geometry and some other things to chase the 5 because they were a little bit better than us. So yes.
And one question for you, Jeff. Knowing your new position with Hendrick Motorsport, you still have time to do some races from time to time?
If I do, please stop me, because I like to drive. I love to get out there and run laps, but I know I can't be as competitive as what I used to be, so I prefer not to race. But I'm enjoying this challenge, working with these guys, our marketing and PR group, and obviously Rick's been an incredible mentor to me over the years, so on the business side, you know, working with NASCAR and tracks and you know, others in the industry is something I'm dedicating most of my time to these days. And I also have 2 kids, and so, you know, family stuff too. But I did do a race last year that was fun, and I did, and it reminded me why I shouldn't be out there racing. Took all the fun right out of it as soon as I was 2 seconds off the pace.
We're gonna go here in the back and then up to Bob.
Yeah, David Hernandez from Beravision Deportes. Quick question. So you touched on the 2-wheel strategy as opposed to the 4-wheel strategy. And was this strategy talked about before the race, or was there at any point during that last yellow that you were saying, hey, we might call an audible and do 4 wheels? Or
yeah, no. I mean, as soon as the caution came out, we were chatting. You know, we have a live chat, and we were talking about what we were going to do. So that was having that openness. You know, racing for a win and as teammates is huge and vital. We both, I think, this week I may have swung Cliff one way, and last week he may have swung me a different way at different times. So it's great teamwork.
And this was also a conversation that you were having actively with William, too. Did he have an input on it, or was it just off you?
Yeah, no. We kind of tell him, you know, what the code word we think we're going to use for there and make sure that he's not totally against it. But we see a whole lot more of the race than he does, you know, and we have a whole lot more of the history, you know. So, yeah.
We're going to go to Bob and Cameron.
Well, there we have Jeff Gordon and the crew chief. We're almost out of time, but I'd like to say hope you all enjoyed the show today. I'm going to go out with Dying Oath, Ascension. Give them a plug. I was just on the line with the singer Mindy. See if she wanted to call in and give herself a plug, but you know, we all have to do things. I'm Vinny B. See y'all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now. We'll see you all next week. I'm Vinny B. Hope you enjoyed it. I sure did. I got to go listen to it again. Bye now.